Hello again, gamers and gamettes, and welcome to another episode of Not So Hardcore Gaming. I'm your host, Jeremy, and today I'm on my own again, although we will have Blaze back on the podcast very, very soon. Now, today we are discussing Assassin's Creed Unity. I'm not sure if I have discussed Assassin's Creed much previously on the podcast, but it's one that I've enjoyed really since I found it, and admittedly, I'm new to a lot of the series. I wasn't able to start gaming until long before these were well-established series, but what I have played, especially before this, I had played the Ezio Collection, so that's 2, Brotherhood and Revelations, and I also played number 3, and that was about it. But playing this game, I went into it on a big part from a recommendation from Blaze. It's his favorite title of the series, and you know, I had high hopes for it, and a lot of the game, it got a bit of a bad rap because when it came out, it was very buggy. And I can understand if something is really buggy, it is difficult to play. But I wanted to give it a proper chance anyway. And plus, by the time I played it, a lot of the bugs were patched out. So we won't really discuss that much. But we'll get into it now. And to start, obviously, visuals and audio comes first. Visually, I absolutely loved it. First of all, the city, I've always, for the Assassin's Creed games I've played, the cities are really beautiful to look at for me, especially when you go from the highest point possible. While in real life, I'm not much a fan of a city, and obviously this is an ancient city. It does have a certain aesthetic to it, and I very much like the look of it. The graphics are pretty damn good, and this is a slightly older game, so now it's not the best nowadays. So by today's standards, it would be less than great, but looking at it, I found it very beautiful. It was very clear. The textures were good. When characters are talking, the words from the character and the audio, they match up fairly well for me. Just visually, bright colors, good textures. Visually, it's a very beautiful game. In terms of audio, obviously you've got the voice actors. I very much liked the voice acting for the game. All of the characters, I feel like the voice matched the character very, very well. There was a lot of personality in the way your character spoke, as well as Elise. It sounds good, and it's good to listen to. Obviously now you've got the weapons, swords clanging, that sort of thing. Again, very well done. Obviously not every weapon will make a slightly different sound. It's not quite that advanced, but the combat sounds sound very good. Obviously you've got your guns, they have it there, the sidearms, your Berserker and your Phantom Blades that you shoot, they have their own unique silent sound. So all sounds good. So in terms of audio, I also think absolutely beautiful. From the both aspect, visual and audio, one of the best I've come across so far. Top notch. Now, next I'll talk about skins, because that's a bit similar. Now, throughout this, you get skins or costumes, whichever you'd like to say. So, for example, you have Ezio's Master Assassin outfit that you can wear. You have at the end of the game, you unlock Arno's Master Assassin outfit. You've got a good selection of different outfits from previous titles, which obviously that holds a special place for a lot of people. Personally, I didn't wear the costumes much. I just went with what it had, my own color scheme, that sort of thing. But having the option for the costumes were good, and for at least a little while I did use them. And as I said, all of them have a history from the series, and one or two unique ones. Very, very good. On that note though, one thing I did find during the game, to unlock one of the skins, you have to do a lot of the Nostradamus Enigma riddles, I think. Now for the previous games I have played, when you go and do all of those side missions, you unlock a really good set of armor. So for all the three Ezio games, once you finished all of them, you got the best armor in the game. And it was a good way to do things. I enjoyed that, and it made it worth it. Whereas for this game, but by all hints it gives you, it makes it sound like you're going to get the best armor in the game. But once you go and finish it, and even with guides, it takes a couple hours to go throughout the entire city and solve all of them, and all you get is a skin. I found that really disappointing. As I said, I had very high hopes for it, but it was just a skin. And as somebody else pointed out, it's just a recolored version of Altair's costume. So it wasn't really worth it. And I found once I finished that, just to get a fairly disappointing skin, I actually couldn't play it for a while. But after a bit, I got over that and finished the game. But that is one thing I thought I would at least share. Now, moving on, we've got skills and actual gear pieces. The skills system, I did quite... there were a lot of skills to get. It was fairly simple to get the skill points. Although I feel like it would have been good if you got skill points separately, like a leveling system. You finish a bunch of side missions, you get the skill points to continue on in the story. Whereas this one, you got skill points for every DNA sequence, so every mission on the main story. I think it would have been better to have the side missions help a little bit, but it is what it is. There were a lot of skills to use, and you could upgrade the certain skill tree, like stealth, to suit your playstyle, to a certain degree at least. And as you unlock different things, the combat changed just a little bit, but it made it more fun and more challenging. So the skills system, I feel like it could have been done slightly better, but it was good enough that I did genuinely enjoy it. Now the gear part of it, obviously you've got, for this game, different pieces of gear. So you've got the hood, you've got the armor, braces, the pants, and I feel like there was one more, but I've obviously forgotten it. And each of them have certain stats that they go towards. One will boost your stealth skills, health skill, melee, or range combat, I think. So if you pick and choose different parts of the gear, you can raise certain stats to make it a lot better. Certain gears will allow you to bring more ammunition with you. A lot of this you'd probably know, but I liked the way the system was done. It made it worth upgrading your base to get more income, going and doing side missions so you get more money. In the end, it made it worth exploring other parts of the game so that you could get the better gear. So I enjoyed doing that. I very slowly built things up and started earning the legendary gear, and I felt a difference in the combat each time I got a new legendary piece. So that system was very well done. Each gear having its own unique look, absolutely loved. And then, of course, you have the different color schemes you can use. That was very good for me. It adds just a certain degree of customization. Now, they already had that for a few previous games, so I know it's nothing new, but the way this one did it, I think, was slightly better. Instead of having to go to a shop to customize the colors, you could change them at any time. And you could think, okay, that looks good when you're on the character customization screen, but it may look slightly different while playing the game. And being able to so easily change it like that, it made it a bit easier to navigate, and again, just a bit of extra visual customization. Very, very good system that way. All of the gear looking unique was just beautiful. I love when there's that much extra detail that goes into it. So both the skill system and the gear system, I think, were done extremely well, and I did genuinely have fun unlocking them as I went along. Now, the weapons. That's the next part of it. I think this was a thing for the earlier games, although not quite as detailed. You have the different types of weapons. So you've got the heavy weapons, I don't know if the two-handed and the heavy weapons are the same thing. You've got those, you've got the single sword, which you pair with the pistol. And there are different classes that you can use, which will affect the gameplay slightly differently. I personally always went with a one-handed sword. I actually went to the Dead Kings DLC to unlock one of the best weapons in the game, and I used that from that point onwards. So, having the option to change to a different weapon at any time was good. It means you can experiment a bit, have a bit of fun, and the game will change at least a little bit so you can enjoy a new style of gameplay. Now, the stats system for the weapons, again, was very well done. Being able to upgrade the weapons, and the same with the gear, by using points you get for, I think they're just assassin's points, which you get for certain feats in the game. I liked that system, especially considering you'd get it just if you parry enough attacks or if you use enough finishing moves. That system, it was easy to get them, but you just had to play a little bit longer, which was just further reason to go and do side missions. And it vastly improved the weapons. So the weapon system, again, I found was very, very good. And being able to upgrade both gear and weapons just by doing more in the game, very, very good motivation. And I did genuinely, I enjoyed doing the side missions, and it was worth it. So it was doubly good. Now, the gameplay itself, obviously this is the most important aspect, closely followed by story. The gameplay has to be done well, otherwise it's not enjoyable. And for this game, I loved the gameplay. It was absolutely exceptional for me. Very simple. That's the first point. It is very simple to grasp the certain controls for the game. It's very simple, very easy, but it does take a little bit of practice to get it. So easy to learn, difficult to master, and that's perfect. And I say that with most games, and that's the way a game should be. You know, you don't want to be too easy to do that. Otherwise, it's not as fun. But if it's too difficult, you just can't wrap your head around it, and it sours it, so you have to go right for that middle spot, and this does it very well. The simple attacks and the light attacks, first of all, it has an option. You invest a skill point into heavier attacks, so you hold down the attack button and it does a slightly different attack that allows you to later play it slightly differently. But to begin with, you have the very simple controls. Parrying for this game was so satisfying. I loved being able to parry attacks very, very easily, and you know, it gave you a cue so you knew when to do it. So like with some games, it doesn't give you a proper cue, so you have trouble parrying. But this one, very simple, light flashes a different color, and that's when you use it. The attacks they use when they parry, so they'll block it, and usually he'll punch them, or he'll, I think, shoulder them. It had a few different moves that he did, which changed each time you use it, and it would randomly choose which one you use. I liked that little detail. And as I said, the parrying system was extremely satisfying. The attacks were simple but customizable. I personally went for the one-handed weapon, but it would change if you went for a heavy weapon or something similar. I just found I stuck to what I was good at. But obviously having that option is good, and if I didn't have that option, it would sour a little bit, but having it was good. So again, the gameplay, very simple, and you've got your different stats, which are affected by what gear you use, and that does slightly alter the gameplay depending on what you go for. If you really want to be fully stealthy, there's that option, and you can, well, one thing, again, the berserker shots that you use, I loved using those, very, very satisfying. And the stealth aspect, which is a very important thing for an assassin, this was done very well, and once everything mixes together, it works. It's like individual ingredients that make the final result, and the final result for this game in terms of gameplay was exceptional. Absolutely loved it. Now, the story I did very much enjoy. The character himself, your character Arno, I liked his character. He was relatable in a lot of aspects. You know, he had strong convictions. He cared about those around him and he wanted to protect them. He didn't really heavily invest himself that much into the creed, the values of the assassins, which obviously for an Assassin's Creed game, you'd want one who, at least for the most part, does what the creed answers, because that's what he's a part of. For example, Ezio, he lived by the creed, he followed it, and he was a great character for it. But for this one, having Arno being less intent on that and just caring about, admittedly sometimes it was revenge, but more than anything he cared about Elise, you know, and that's what he fought for. And I did like that. I could agree with some of his viewpoints, and the fact that he wasn't this perfect character. For example, Ezio almost seemed perfect, had very little flaws to him. Arno had flaws, and that's what made him more relatable, that's what made him more human. And the way his character was written, I found I took a shine to him. I did very much enjoy playing as him. And the whole way through, I agreed with a lot of the actions he took, whether they were short-sighted or something like that. I look at it and I think, in that situation, I would quite likely do the same thing. You know what I mean? It's sort of, it's having a different viewpoint for this style of character. And obviously, through the story, he evolved somewhat, but the whole way through he had something to fight for. That something occasionally changed, but he was driven, he had something he needed to accomplish, and that's why you went and did what you did. That's why you play the story, is you want him to accomplish those goals. That's the way I'll often look at it. I know other players may not look at it the same way I do, but that's the way I look at it. And seeing again, he goes from revenge at first to basically he runs back into Elise. He cares for her, and she is what he fights for by the end. She is the reason he does what he does, and that slight change in it made it very agreeable, and I liked the way it was written. I liked the way those two interacted, their little, you know, the way they knew each other, their quips with each other, the witty banter throughout a lot of it. I really enjoyed it. I loved the way they rolled off each other. They made jokes, they, you know, callbacks, that sort of thing. They really, really worked well together, and it was fun to watch, and I enjoyed it. Was almost like I was a part of it in a way, and I really, really loved the way that was done. I can't discuss the story too much in depth. I know it's an older game, but I try not to discuss it too far, otherwise, you know, it will come to spoilers. If anyone plays, like, listens to this and then wants to play it later, I don't want to say too much for them, but I hope I can give you a bit of an idea of some of the story elements, the character himself. I've spoken about the main two characters, and there's not really much else. The other characters, you don't get to know well, but that's why I haven't discussed all of the individual characters too much. Now that I've spoken about the main things, I want to at least briefly mention one or two bugs I did encounter, but this is after all the patches were released. Most of the bugs were worked out, and I found throughout the game I encountered very few bugs at all, and it was just an occasional thing. At one time, he got stuck in a running motion towards a wall that, you know, I just had to simply restart the game because I couldn't do anything else. At one point, I was jumping over a hay basket, and right as I was halfway over, got shot, fell in, and completely glitched. Relatively minor things, not that impactful. You know, every now and then when I would go to jump into a hay basket, he'd jump the wrong direction, but then I would just respawn and it would be fine. So they were very small, they were not that impactful, and it didn't affect the gameplay much, so I didn't mind. Obviously, I haven't played it as it was to begin with. I don't know how buggy that was, and at the start of its release, it may have had more game-breaking bugs, but again, I'm looking at it from a point of once they've worked on it more, once they've gotten rid of a lot of those, what was it like? I don't want to concentrate on the bugs themselves, although I want to briefly mention them. I think that's pretty much everything I can say for the game. I absolutely loved it from start to finish. I loved the gameplay, loved the story, loved the characters. Visually beautiful, sounded great, and the only thing I really ran into it was the bugs, which were few and far between by the time I played it. There's really very little that I didn't enjoy about the game at all. As I mentioned earlier, this was Blazer's favourite title of the series, so he spoke very highly of it, and I was excited to play it, and honestly, I wasn't disappointed. In terms of my view on it, I think my favourite game I've played of them would still be Assassin's Creed Revelations. That, to me, is my favourite game, but I would put this as a close second. That's all she wrote. That's everything. Thank you again for tuning in. I always enjoy filming these episodes. I hope you've enjoyed, and I hope you'll go and play the game on your own and enjoy it. If you've played it before, I hope I'll prompt you to play it again. If you want to comment on anything, if you want to recommend a game for me to play, new or old, I have a Facebook page, Not So Hardcore Gaming. If you have anything there, I would be happy to hear you out. I would love to be able to talk with you guys. I'm at the moment trying to upload my episodes to YouTube. I'm slowly getting the episodes out there. I hope that will make it easier to access, and I hope to see you there. And once again, thank you for joining me today, and have a good one.